Hey guys, welcome to the Parody Podcast Show, hosted by me, Rachel Evans, aka the Human Barbie, aka Margot Robbie Barbie lookalike. Yay! So let's get into today's episode. Okay, I'm going to do something exciting and fun. I'm only joking. Right, I'm going to do a reaction video to when I appeared on First Dates. Now, so a lot of people don't realize that I was on one show, one episode of First Dates, and I actually said no to it. Three times, or was it two times, third time lucky? Yes. So basically, when I was a competitive bikini athlete, I was approached to do literally the first season of First Dates ever, right? This is crazy. Because I appeared in season 2, episode 6, and it's here on my, if I can find it, it's there. Basically, this is what happened. I was on series 2, episode 6, channel 4, 19th of March, 2014. Basically, I went on a blind date with a guy called Alan. I'm going to take you behind the scenes of what it's like to be on an episode of First Dates. Now, bearing in mind, I said no to season 1. Could you imagine if I'd have done season 1? We would have been the OGs. Well, I would have been one of the OGs. Well, I kind of am because I was in series 2, episode 6. So this is what happened. So let me just give you an introduction to the build up for the date. I think I was phoned by a producer who'd seen me in the press and as a model. And this is before I was even doing a lot of press about being Barbie, because I was a competitive bikini athlete and my coach was like, stay out of the press, get your head down and do your training and your workout and get on stage. So at the time, back in 2014, I was out of the press because I just had to quietly get onto the gym workouts, training and all of that. But eventually when I stopped competing, I decided, or in the run up to stopping competing, I decided to go on First Dates because I said, no, I don't really want to go on it. But I remember a phone call from one of the producers. I'll never forget it. And I said, I'm not sure I'm interesting enough to be on TV. I actually said that to them. This is before I was doing the reality documentaries. And they said, oh, we really want you on because you're single and da, 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 da. And they'd seen some of my press, because don't forget, before I was in the press about being a human Barbie, I've been published on the front of the Daily Mirror as a model, because I was an actress and a model for many years, since my son was little, and my son's, you know, 23 now. So I've done interviews in the press before talking about Barbie. So people had seen my face and they think they'd seen me before. Do you know what I mean? But obviously, as the human Barbie now, I'm recognizable pretty instantly. Anyway, so back then I was trying to keep a low profile. So I give you the contrast. Yeah, I was just a working actress and model and a mom. I was trying to keep my profile out of the press. And, you know, as a model, you don't look at yourself like you're a celebrity anyway. You just think, yeah, I'm just working. I'm just doing my job as an actor and a model. Anyway, cut a long story short, I just said I don't really want to be on the show because I don't think I'm interesting enough. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I don't know what we talk about on the date. And I actually don't feel like dating because I was still getting over a very bad breakup of 2013 when I became single in January 2013. I broke things off with my ex-fiance at the time. It was a toxic relationship, peace and love to him. But at the time, it was just awful. So I really wasn't looking for a man. Do you know what I mean? I was just into my gym workouts, lifting weights and training and going to work and being a mom and being a model and an actress, of course, doing those gigs that, you know, you don't get publicized about unless you're on like a TV commercial or you're doing modeling in the tabloids in a bikini, which is what I used to do. So I said no, and then I got another phone call and I said I really don't think I should be on it. I don't think I'm interested. Then, so when series 2 of First Dates came around, my friends were like, you should do it, you should do it. So on the advice of two of my closest friends at the time, I decided if they asked me again, I'd say yes. And they did ask me. So when series 2 came, I said, yeah, okay. So I passed the final casting call. And then you go through a lot of kind of prep. So let me bring you forward. Well, you talk to the producers as well, and then so basically before the date I was told, you know, that I would be meeting a guy, and before we go on the date, it was in St. Paul's where they had this restaurant, so you'd meet the producers and it was really clandestine, and you'd meet in this like back office kind of in a building with other people, and they'd mic you up, and then they'd give you, if they have to give you a photo of the guy you're going on a date with, even though it was a blind date. And he said, because we don't want you going on a date with an ex, because it's happened where people go, oh my God, this is an ex of mine. So I saw him and I was like, and I really wasn't that keen on him on the photo. I thought, oh, that's weird. He's not my type. But so you walk in, and they show the camera angle of your feet as you walk in. Then Fred was not doing the first date's concierge then. It was a different guy. And as you walk in, you're like really nervous. So I was really nervous. And I remember I had my lovely like stone colored, like faux fur coat, had my bleach blonde hair. It was like this, but it was more wavy and a bit shorter. And my makeup was brilliant then, and I look good. And they do have lights on in the restaurant. So, and I walked in and he says, hello. I said, hello, I'm here to see my date. And he said, yep. And he, the guy pretends to look at the restaurant bookings and he says, do you know his name? I went, oh, I don't remember his name. It begins with A. Let's have a look at this. So this is the intro that you can hear in the background to First Dates. Because as so these two, the girl before me. All right, here I am. Then I start energy. I start sniffing the things, salt and pepper. He was late. I start sniffing the salt and pepper because I was so nervous. He walks in. Les Miserables. Les Miserables. Les Miserables. Hey, he's quite funny. He just wasn't my type. Bless him, Alan. Anyway, so that was all I have to show you. But basically, because that was what they had put on, I think, online somewhere, just a little snippet. So he walks over because he was late, and I remember looking at him thinking, oh, he's so not my type. We sat down anyway. I just thought, be nice. You're on a date. It's no big deal. And I was really nervous. I started sniffing the salt and pepper. Oh, my God. Anyway, I was quite shy in those days because when I don't switch my personality on and I'm just myself, I am very this is 2014. I'm very shy, and I was quietly out of the public eye. And sometimes my shyness comes out. So the more in the public eye I am, the better it is for my shyness, because I'm not shy. Anyway, that's why I love being Barbie, because I'm not shy. So anyway, Alan sits down and then we start to order, but we have a chat. He says, oh, you look lovely. And I went, thank you. And I wore like a jacket like this. I think it was purple biker jacket, exactly, because Barbie likes pink and purple, right? And I'm still Barbie, but I wore purple and a pink dress, baby pink bodycon dress. I took my jacket off and he was eyeing me up and down like he was stripping me naked. And I was like, and he said, you look amazing. I went, he said, you're beautiful. I said, well, thank you. So we sat down. It was all very innocent. But to be honest, I think it was a bit of a boring date for the audience, because we ended up talking about bleach and our love of bleach and the scent. And he goes, lemon bleach. And I went, what? They've got a lemon bleach? And he was like, yeah. And he goes, or strawberry. And it was so funny. We ended up clicking on that point. We were like two kids laughing. And he was funny. He was good company, but there was no spark. There was no chemistry. Anyway, so Alan and me on that date had a giggle. And then I paid for my bill, which people were saying, oh, shouldn't the guy pay? And there's still a debate today about when the cameras zoom in on you to see who's going to pay. But I think I paid mine. I think I did. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I think I did. Anyway, and he went, oh, are you sure? Oh, yeah, he did, because I remember. Anyway, so if you want to see First Date Series 2, Episode 6, that's my episode on a date with Alan. That's what we're talking about behind the scenes. So I remember we were then, after the date and the cameras were finished rolling, we went to get our mics taken off in the back room, and then I bumped into him. But before that, I forgot the big thing. We actually went to get filmed to show after the date, if you want to see them again. Oh my God, it's so long ago, I forgot. And I remember being really nervous and I thought, how do I say no? And honestly, this is what happened. On camera, they show me saying, yeah, okay, I'll go on a date. But the truth is this, that the producers convinced me to say yes, because I said, I don't want to go on another date. And they were like, Rachel, what if you just say, just, it's not a marriage proposal, what if you just say yes? And I went, because they're waiting to film and to get him to come in and sit next to me. And I went, yeah, okay, I'll go on another date with him. But I actually told them I didn't, and we were going to film me saying, no, I don't want to go on a date. But the producer sat and talked to me for like 10 minutes or so, it felt like 20. And she convinced me to go on a date. But I was grateful and was open-minded because I actually went on the show thinking, I haven't met McCann. I haven't met the guy that I want to be with. So maybe it's going to take a TV show to make me meet the guy that I want to meet with. And Umbers, but this is what happened. Then they film us, I think, getting in a taxi, going, leaving, and that's the end scene, isn't it, when they say goodbye. And then at the end credits, it said Rachel decided not to go on another date with Alan. I can't remember the phrase they use. You know, it's like a tagline, because basically this is what happened. Even though I'd said yes, the end credits was showing that I didn't go on another date with him because I phoned them, the producers, he was like sexting me. Now, Alan's a lovely guy, but he was messaging me too much and I was driving home and he wanted me to go back to his hotel, I think, just like any typical guy, yeah? But I just like was not like that way inclined and it put me off him. So, just another guy who wants to get a leg over, and I thought, no, I'm not going on another date. So I didn't want to waste the producer's time. You know, there was no romance. There was nothing going on. I'm not going to fake it for TV. Anyway, so in the end, I didn't film another date with him, but if that was going to happen, I don't know. Anyway, so that's a little bit of behind the scenes of the reality of what it's like to be this, what's it called again? The Dating Show First Dates. And I was on season 2, episode 6, Rachel on a date with Alan. But yeah, they introduced me as working in beauty and fashion because they wanted me to be relatable. So I did loads of different jobs in fashion and beauty, but obviously being a model and an actress is slightly different. So they said, what do you want to put your profession? I said, I'll just say I work in fashion or beauty because I do, but I also am an actor and a model. And they were like, we just need to put one. So I wanted to be relatable. Anyway, so when you put model or actress, it's almost like, I don't think people can relate to you. So anyway, that was that. Anyway, it was a good show and it was fun to go on that. So what I'll do is leave in the comments what you want me to talk about behind the scenes as well on. And I will take you behind the camera because a lot of things that I've done, people don't even know unless you see my credits on Spotlight or Internet Movie Database and stuff. There's so many funny stories. So basically, I'll talk about behind the scenes, the next one of being a model on a music video. So there's a group called the Manic Street Preachers as the featured artist, which is, so I did about 8 wipes in front of the camera on a mobile, like as a yuppie with short hair, someone who worked in the city and really serious looking. But when it came to the chorus, there by the grace of God, they asked for someone to push the lead singer, and I put my hands up because like we were having a laugh. There was loads of extras on the day. I'm an actor, so you can do background artist work. But when you engage with the lead artist, I mean, this is the Manic Street Preachers lead singer. I had to push him in this video. And I'm skinny, blonde, you know what I mean, Barbie. But I was like, I can do it. And Barry Wassenberg was the director, and he asked a few of us in the group who were doing the background scenes, walking behind the singers, the drummers and the guitarist and the lead singer. And they said, I need someone to push him on the chorus. And I went, I'll do it. I kind of did it as a joke, but he actually chose me. So the director chose me. He said, okay. He goes, I want you on this word to push into him and really hard. And I was absolutely wetting myself. I thought, come on, Rach, you got this. You're an actress. So we were doing it in the South Bank area. And have a look at there by the grace of God. You'll see me with my blonde hair. It's like a blonde bob and I'm really skinny on a phone. And you can see my blonde hair go 8 times behind the lead singer or near the drummer or near the guitarist, because they pick people who obviously look good on camera. But I got chosen to do about so many different scenes. But there was, God, about 50 background artists. But I, being an actor, they single you out because they know you're professional and you can do what the director asks you to do, even if it's just walking with a certain look. So we had to look serious, be on the phone and just ignore what's around us kind of vibe. Because 2 of the actors were playing crazy people, and it was a very good video, very dark, but very good, and very political almost about, you know, people who suffer, but there by the grace of God. Yeah, I was, because when I was an actor and model, I still am, I got my equity card doing gigs, and I still do, people out there who just want to do extra work. But as an actor and a model, I was never an extra, but the rest of it was pure acting. Anyway, so when it came to pushing the lead singer, I can't remember his name, the lead singer of the Manic Street Preachers, there by the grace of God. And I remember pushing him and the director, cut, all right. And he looked at me, he goes, which number is Rachel? He goes, Rachel, you've got to push him harder. Can you do that? I went, yeah, no problem. So he's just there by the grace of God. Boom. And I think the bit, it was dum da dum da dum suffer. And I had to push him on suffer, I think. I'll have to look at the video again. It's on YouTube somewhere. And it's quite a big UK group. And there by the grace of God will you suffer. And you see me split second knock into him. And you see my hair like, oof. And I hit him with my left shoulder and boom. And it was like, oh my God. He went cut and he goes, no. And he goes, you're going to have to do it hard. The director, action. And I pushed him again. And I think it was the third or fourth time, probably the third time. And I hit him with my shoulder so hard, pushing into me, physically moved as he's playing the guitar, singing the chorus, suffer. And he gave me a dirty look because I really pushed hard. And he's like, oh my God. Because obviously, in a sexual way, just in a flirty, friendly way, because we had to sort of do the scenes next to all the musicians, the guitarist, the drummer, and the lead singer. And I had to interact with information. No, seriously. So I'm struggling to remember this. This is a long time ago. So I've done so many things. Like I've, as an actress, I've played many different roles. And on my journey to becoming Barbie, I decided as an actress to just be Barbie and be typecast. Because when you go into acting school, and I got trained by a lot of amazing tutors like John Asquith, Nina Finberg, and I was voice and stuff, and how to write good stories. So I was always like into storytelling. And obviously, as a human Barbie, I use my voice storytelling about being Barbie and being this character who I believe are the same thing. Rachel and Barbie, the same person, like I say in interviews, and I'll be doing it till I'm 80. But when I was an actress, just focusing on other roles, I was so interested in how you get into character and things like that. So being Barbie, I birthed as Barbie by killing off all of the old characters that I used to have in me. And it was just like, ugh, that's not me. And but being trained in the West End, in the Actors Centre, it's not there anymore. It used to be in Theatreland. The Actors Centre Soho is where I got my training. And we used to do evening classes, day classes and stuff. And honestly, it was one of the best times of my life. And I've been trained to a high level with a lot of these tutors. It's on my Spotlight CV with my showreel stuff. But what I learned was that Nina Finberg told me, you're going to be like the LA blonde or the gangster's mall. Like, you know, like a mafia boss's wife with, you know, glamorous and blonde. So I knew that I would be typecast. And as a result, when I was a model on the books of two top agencies, I was a commercial model, fitness model, Sandra Reynolds agency and Source Models agency. And then I was with Mark Summers casting, and I got the blonde roles, the glamorous blonde, you know, modelly blonde roles, but I didn't get serious character roles, if you know what I mean. I was in a Gordon Haskell music video. I can't remember the name, but I played an Essex girl with white boots and white short skirt on, and we had to pretend we were on the X Factor. So I did this leg kick dance, and it was really funny. But yeah, I always played the fun blonde, dizzy blonde, skinny blonde, the beautiful blonde model kind of looking kind of characters. And after a while, I thought, okay, so there's not going to be a lot of work available to me in the UK, because a lot of the characters that were casting back then in the day, they were like not my LA Barbie look. Now it's different, right? Thank God. So I decided to almost like not worry about being typecast. And I just wanted to be happy within myself. So as I rebirthed as Barbie from the age of 35 onwards, I really did take years to find out the real essence of who I am. And I thank being an actress for that, because when you get to play different characters, you kind of have to possess the character to play it. And it can drain the hell out of you, you know. And with Barbie, Barbie's always positive, upbeat, kind, yay. And today's going to be the best day ever. And other, so that's the Barbie character that I love so much. And it's the real essence of who I am. Because if you hang around with me or work with me, that's who I am. And that's the kind of vibe you're going to get. Yay. But when I was in my early days as an actor and model, I'd just come out of the gothic phase. So I did have a bit of pessimism in me, and I'm so glad that I don't have that anymore. Anyway, guys, so thank you for listening to this show. We've got a little while to go yet, but what I'm going to do is the second part of the video, which is general chit chat. I'll give you a bit of an update on my gym workouts as well. So this week I've only done one workout. I've done a full body. I did a massive lower body workout and my shoulders, back and biceps. So I've done my glutes, hams, quads. I've done my shoulders, back, and I really feel so good. I was meant to go today, but I was socializing. Listen to this. I was socializing. So I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow. So I tend to go at the weekend and early in the week, especially if I've got a busy work week, but I'm really doing a lot of cardio, 8,500 steps a day as well. So the gym is strength training, and I'm doing my cardio too, which is going great. The diet's going good. And I was with Steve today and I said, put your hands around my waist and do the body fat percentage pinch. And he went, yeah, you're very lean. I went, feel the hip. He went, oh God, yeah, you're lean. So what I learned as a bikini athlete was, rather than get on the scales, which can play with your head, I just want to make a point here. If you're on the diet and you're training, the scales don't represent really what you look like, what your body fat percentage is, unless you do the calipers and stuff, or you've got a way of measuring it. The scales can be heavier when you're tightening up because you've got more muscle density and you're losing fat. Muscle weighs more than fat. So generally speaking, in my experience, when you tighten up and you've got more muscle, the scales might not move, but you actually pinch that, you know, the body fat's going down. And a good way to do it is don't weigh yourself unless you really need to. Just look in the mirror, get someone to do a physical fat percentage pinch. Somebody in the industry who knows how to measure you literally on site. I can measure myself on site. And I know certain parts of my stomach. So when I'm losing weight off my stomach, it shrinks in a certain way. It shrinks so that I get a little podgy belly in the middle as the sides, you know, that as your obliques come in. So that's how I know, like, you know, where your button is on your jeans, that's the tighter part, but around the hips, it's a bit looser. So that's how you know, that's how I know I'm losing weight, and back fat as well. So I did see my rhomboids and my back muscles are coming through a little bit as well, which is quite cool. I'm really happy with the way the gym and the diet is going, but I can have a cheat meal. Like today, I had a massive salad with a couple of strips of chicken, and then I had like a couple of bags of sweets, but that's it. That is me going crazy, because during the week, I'm really good on the diet. But what I've just reintroduced into my diet is bread. I don't really eat bread. I don't even like it, but it's the seeded bread is good. It's good. And you do need a good dose of fiber. But in these cold winter months, because we're in early February now, sometimes you need that comfort food. So I'll have like chili con carne with rice. That's a lot. Sometimes I'll just have eggs, like an egg sandwich with brown seeded bread, no butter, it's dry. Or I'll have cheese, and I don't eat cheese and I don't even eat bread, but Steve's just got me to do it just to break up the diet a bit. Because normally I would just have the protein with a bit of carb rice. Or I would maybe have, well, let me think what else. I would have the vegetables with it. But I think in the winter months, and as I'm burning fat, you need to keep a certain high level of carbs so that you can train. Because if I deplete my carbs too much, I won't have the strength to do the gym weights, the strength training. So as you're building, your carbs are moderate to high or medium. I would say medium. But when you're cutting, they go down. So about 6 weeks, I'll start to cut. Maybe 6 to 8 weeks, I'll start cutting. Because I think, let me just get this right, February. So I want to look bikini ready and showcase my new bikini body at the end of March. So yeah, I think in another 4 weeks, I'll start cutting. But I do carb cycling. So I'll cut the carbs midweek if I feel like I'm just too bloated, because my body doesn't really like a lot of carbs. So things like that as well, when you cycle your carbs is good. And that's how it's been going for me. Some days I'll have very minimal carbs because my body doesn't need it. So you've got to know what works for you. And some people do the keto diet. I tried the keto diet and I still do fasting, intermittent fasting, which is good. And I will reintroduce that when I'm cutting the carbs. But right now I will have breakfast, lunch and dinner, but super light meals, very small portions, not huge. And I try and put my carbs. What else do you want to talk about, Rachel? I'm talking about myself in the third person. So, so looking at my Instagram, what have I just been up to recently? So we've got the Parody Podcast, norm for my outfits. So some of the outfits that I'm doing, moving on to the Barbie stuff. This is one of my favorites. I always like to show you the outfits. So I've got Harley Quinn there and I've got Barbie. So looking at, is it Lady Gaga who's the new Harley Quinn? I'm looking forward to that movie and I think it'll be awesome. But I can do a good Harley Quinn outfit and impression. And I've got a showreel as well. So I've done some scenes as Margot Robbie and also from The Wolf of Wall Street. And I've done some scenes that I filmed last year for my showreel as Harley Quinn, which is quite cool. And of course, Barbie. And they're my favorite Barbie. Yay. It's cool. Yes. And I can't wait to do more photo shoots. I'm really, really excited. Really excited to do that. Yay. That's my favorite picture. Right, hair and makeup. So I've done my lash extensions. I've put a new set of lash extensions on. They last about 7 days. I think I'll take them off on Wednesday. And I've washed my hair. I like to wash my hair every 2 days now. It used to be twice a week, which now I'm thinking is a bit gross because you know what? I used to think that oil on your hair is good. I actually don't think so. I've got my side part today because my roots need doing. So I've just done a side part because my fringe has got longer. But basically, I use a really good, not sponsored, Marks and Spencer's shampoo and conditioner. My God, it's really good. It's only like £2.50. It's one of the best. It's got no sulfates in it or something, but it's a really good one. And it makes my hair so shiny. And I use this argan oil. The argan oil is L'Oreal Elvive. It's really good. Makes my hair shiny. And I've got my hair piece, my halo in here. Because as you guys know, my hair's like about 16 inch, but I wear 20 inch halo extension that I made myself with the hair pieced it all together. So I'm very happy with this look. What do you think of the side part, guys?
I love it.
So we are coming up to nearly half an hour, or we've just gone over half an hour. I keep wearing a lot of black. So my Barbie style is like rock chick Barbie. I've got a black leather biker jacket and I wear black bodycon shorts, like above the knee, thigh high. It's actually a couple of inches or 3 foot, about 4 inches above the knee. I wear these like bodycon vest dresses and then I put a jacket or a cardigan or hoodie, my pink hoodie over it. I've got that nice, like, you know, like the Chanel Boucle wool kind of look. It's like a structured wool with buttons and it's black. Zip cardigan. I don't wear cardigans, don't like them. Ugh. So I like my pink hoodies. Yes, the Barbie hoodies or Juicy Couture. And but today I've got my pink Barbie faux vegan leather jacket on. But I like to wear my real leather jacket. I've got three. They're from River Island. They're men's. Small men's because I couldn't get a female one, but they're really oversized and cute. I love it. And I like the pockets and the zip. The metal work is beautiful, silver. So yeah, so my style is a bit rock chick Barbie and I've got my silver locket with the cross. And then my friend got me this necklace. It's a guest necklace. So I've got that together, silver. And I do wear silver jewelry. So that's my rock chick Barbie. And I wear my Ugg boots. I've got loads of Uggs. Loads of Uggs. They're so comfortable because my feet are battered, literally from years of being a model and an actor, performer, and my feet are red raw a lot of the time because I'm doing a lot of standing on my feet and I don't sit down a lot, but yeah, my feet need the Uggs. I love them so much. So I recommend checking out the Ugg collection. They're so amazing. I was in London yesterday and I went to the new Ugg store in, oh my God, where is it? It used to be on Regent Street or where did it? I can't remember where it used to be. Anyway, there's a new Ugg store, but they didn't have a lot of the collection. I buy everyone online anyway and get it delivered. But I can't live without my Uggs. I love my black and I've got white ones. They're the platform, like platform Uggs. They are so cool. I love it. So it's a biker chic Barbie look that I do in the winter months because you know what? Sometimes black is good with the pink and I wear pink accessories. So obviously my nails or my lips, but I don't do like the neon pink on my lips. Steve was saying to me today, he said, this is the best you've ever looked since I've known you. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Because I'm going for more like a Margot Robbie or natural makeup look for Barbie. I do love my makeup. It's so cool. Yeah. But obviously, there's if I'm on a photo shoot and you're under the studio lights, I'm under studio lights 3.9 in here now, but if you're in a studio, you need color. So a bit of pink lipstick is good because otherwise you look so washed out. So when I'm filming in my home studio, I don't have to wear these bright pink lipsticks. But yeah, usually in front of the TV cameras or when you're on set filming and they're filming me doing a photo shoot, when the cameras are filming me for the documentaries on a photo shoot, which is my work, isn't it? So that's what I do. Then I've got to put a bit of pink on or a brown pink lip liner. Anyway, I'll do another hair and makeup chit-chat in the next podcast, but I just want to keep it on, like, behind the scenes so you guys get to know what it's like to be me or to be a model and actor and what the story time is. Because, you know, if we were just hanging out, this is what we do. Like, people go, well, what's it like doing this? And I'm like, oh, okay. Because I forget that when you're in the industry, other people who don't know what it's like to be in the industry I'm in as an entertainer or model and actress, they are fascinated. So I thought, yeah, let me do that. I'll do more behind the scenes of interviews and stuff. I've got an interview coming out, I think it's in February, with a little magazine. It's a cute magazine, and hopefully a different demographic for my general audience will read about it, and I can connect with new audience, you know. Anyway, I will finish the podcast there, but you guys let me know what you want to hear in the next podcast. And I'll say over and out, thank you for listening to the Parody Podcast Show, hosted by me, Rachel Evans, aka The Human Barbie / Margot Robbie Barbie Lookalike. I hope you have a good evening.